following message was recorded at Faith Fellowship St. Pete in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.
Good morning. We are so thankful you're listening online with us today. As the weather permits, we will be holding our in-person outdoor Sunday celebrations at 9:30 a.m. Until we are able to meet back together, we will be providing the Sunday messages online as well. Our in-person Sunday celebrations will be family style. This means families and households, including children, will sit together. We will be practicing 6-foot distancing, and we will have masks on hand for those who would like one. Our new creation, Children's Church, weekly gospel for kids videos and lessons, will be continued to be uploaded and available on Saturday so that you have time to prepare in advance to share each week's lesson with your children. You can access the weekly sermon with notes as early as 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings. If you have an underlying medical condition or fall within the age group listed as most at risk by the CDC, we encourage you to continue joining us online for our Sunday celebrations. Our church website continues to be the best place for you to visit for updates, online giving, and frequently asked questions. Please be in prayer for us as we journey through this season together in the Lord. We would love for you to fill out an online connection card and let us know how we can be in prayer for you. Thank you for tuning into this week's announcements. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Well, God bless you. If you were with us last Sunday, you heard Pastor Colin wrap up our study in the book of 1 Peter, which was rich and encouraging. I was really gripped by a verse last week in 1 Peter 5. It's actually verse 8. It says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Then in verse 9, it says, "Resist him," meaning the enemy or the devil, "resist him, standing firm in the faith." And it dawned on me that we are all part of the resistance movement. Those of us who are believers, followers of Jesus Christ, the Lord has us here. We're engaged in a warfare against the world, the flesh, and the enemy, and we're part of the resistance. And this morning's message, we're going to talk about resistance by way of prevailing prayer. And we're going to be looking in the Old Testament at Daniel chapter 10. So please grab your Bible and turn to the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. And we're going to look at that entire chapter, which is incredibly insightful and encouraging. And I'm trusting in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to just encourage our hearts and minds and draw us into a deeper depth of understanding of our part that we play, again, in this resistance movement. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this morning and for your word, and I pray, God, that you'd bless all those within the sound of my voice. God, give us ears to hear, give us hearts to receive your word. Also, Father, your people, we cry out to you on behalf of our country, our world, our community, our neighbors, our co-workers, our family members and friends who don't know you. God, we ask for a spiritual awakening here in this country. We pray for spiritual renewal in the church, oh God, and may it start and begin with each and every one of us. Oh God, have mercy on us. I pray, we pray together. And God, we look forward to what you're doing and what you're going to do. We know that you're a faithful God, that your mercies are new every morning. And so we trust in you. We glorify you, King Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. So here we are in Daniel, this, again, fascinating, insightful passage of verses. Let's look at this together. Daniel chapter 10. And I'll read verse 1. It says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar, and the word was true, and it was a great conflict, and he understood the word and had understanding of the vision." Then you'll notice the point of view changes in verse 2. It says, "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks." So here we have some context. Daniel's about 90 years old, so he's a senior saint, this wonderful, faithful prophet of the Lord. He probably at this stage, at the writing of this, been retired from public service, and he'd been in captivity with the nation of Israel for over 70 years. So from the time that he was a teenager, Daniel has been living in captivity. And at first it was the Babylonian Empire, and then now we have a second empire that comes along, and this would be the Persian Empire. So Daniel's actually been in captivity now over two different empires. And he's an older man. He's seen the faithfulness and the favor of the Lord on his life, and God has used him as a spiritual leader and as an example and as a light even to the ungodly during his time of captivity. It says here that we're in the third year of Cyrus, who is the king of Persia, and the Persians had overthrown the Babylonian Empire. So again, Israel had initially been under Babylon, now they're under Persia. And what King Cyrus had done is he had made a decree that Israel would be able to return to Jerusalem, not to rebuild the city walls, not to rebuild Israel, but to rather rebuild our Jerusalem, but rather to rebuild the temple. So Cyrus had set this out that there could be a return to Jerusalem in order to rebuild the temple, which had been destroyed, had been razed to the ground by the Babylonians. So this may explain why Daniel is in mourning here, in really kind of intense prayer, in mourning, in heartbreak at this time. There are two possibilities, probably overlapping. Most think that Daniel's mourning here because there were just a handful of Jews who decided to return to Jerusalem with Ezra in order to rebuild the temple. You've got hundreds of thousands of Jews who are in captivity, and the record is about 40,000, just a fraction, decide that they would go back to Jerusalem to begin the rebuilding of the temple. And obviously, this really affected Daniel, whose heart was toward the Lord, whose heart was for the worship of the Lord. And of course, the rebuilding of the temple would have been extremely important to this godly man. So it's discouraging. It's devastating to him that of all of his people, there's just a few folk, really, relatively speaking, who share his passion for the temple. And there's probably another reason that he's in great mourning. I think, and it transcends, it even relates to us in some ways. And that is that of the group, the small group contingency that returns to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, when they get there and they start building, apparently the locals, there's a little revolt that takes place. There's an uprising and some resistance against them rebuilding the temple. And what the remnant there does, what those Israelites do, is they actually just quit in the middle of the rebuilding of the temple. They just decide the pressure is too much, and so they throw up their hands in exasperation, and they just discontinue the building. Now, eventually, they come back, and the building would be complete. But at this point in time, they had actually stopped the rebuilding project because of political and social pressure that was mounting from those locals around them. So word would have gotten back to the godly man Daniel. And in this context now, we have Daniel who is in mourning. This grand saint, you know, this godly man, this prophet of God, he's heartbroken by the spiritual apathy and by the lack of zeal that he's witnessing with this new generation of Israelites, many of whom, by the way, never saw the temple. They had been born into captivity. So unlike the prophet Daniel, they had no like real experience with temple worship. So here's this godly man, and I can only kind of imagine what it must be like today here in the United States for many of our senior saints who've lived through past revivals, who've seen spiritual awakenings in the past, and maybe have witnessed with a degree of horror seeing this culture continue to disintegrate into godlessness and seeing generations come where there is no fear of the Lord, where the things, the values in the understandings of years gone by are no longer held. And I could imagine that there are even among us godly folk whose hearts are breaking every day that they turn the television on or open up a newspaper and they read about just the spiritual apathy, the dryness, the deadness, the lack of spiritual sensitivity that is so evident in the culture and in the generation today. Well, that would have been the prophet Daniel. And in response to what he sees in the apathy, in the disregard for the things of God, it says in his period of mourning, it says Daniel ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered his mouth, nor did he anoint himself at all for a full 3 weeks. So it's not a complete fast. It's sort of a partial fast, but he is definitely heartbroken. He has definitely turned his face to the Lord in a disposition of grief and mourning for the spiritual condition of his people. It says in verse 4, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Euphrates around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. So this isn't a vision here. This is an actual encounter that Daniel has. He has an encounter with a supernatural personage, which is pretty amazing here. Now, there are divisions with regard. Commentators are divided over the identity of this certain man described in the first 9 verses of Daniel chapter 10. Some say this is what we call a theophany. So in other words, that we have Jesus here coming to Daniel in the first 9 verses, and then in later verses, beginning with verse 10, we have an angelic being coming to Jesus, or coming to Daniel. And those who believe that, they look to Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 16, and you'll notice that there's a remarkably similar description in Revelation of Jesus as you find here in Daniel chapter 10 as he encounters the supernatural personage. So if you do kind of a line by line, and we don't have time to do that today, but you'll see it's remarkable in terms of just the similarity. So again, Revelations 1 verses 12 to 16, paralleled with what we just read here in Daniel chapter 10, which leads again many to conclude that at least for the first 9 verses here, we're looking at a theophany, we're looking at Jesus appearing to the prophet Daniel. And then there's another camp that would suggest that this entire section here, all of chapter 10, that we're not dealing with Jesus, we're dealing with a supernatural messenger or an angel. And we know, for example, in Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 2, that the prophet Ezekiel, he saw angelic figures that were clothed in linen. And so there are some who believe, and we'll talk about that in just a few as to why, that what we're seeing here from the entirety of chapter 10 is a glorified angel. So really, it to be honest with you, you can make your own decision whether you believe you're seeing a theophany in the first 9 verses and then an angel later on, or whether or not you believe that the entire chapter 10 is an angel. One thing that is unanimous is that we know that the prophet Daniel is encountering, again, a supernatural spiritual personage here. It says in verse 7, it says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves." Now, for many of you, this should sound and look familiar, because this is very similar to what Paul went through on the road to Damascus when the Lord came to Saul. And if you read that in Acts, his companions could not hear the same voice from heaven that he heard. So once again, we have a New Testament parallel to what's taking place here in Daniel chapter 10, verse 7. Very, very interesting. Now there, I think, is a note of application that I want to pause and make sure that we think about, we pray about. And here's what I believe the note of application is. It's interesting to note that for you and me, this particular experience reminds us that we can be close to the presence and power of God. You and I can be on the front row, really, of the presence and power of God being manifest, and yet we can miss the message. We can miss it altogether for lack of spiritual perception. So I don't want to just be, you know, close to the fire. I want to be consumed. I don't want to just kind of be an outsider witnessing what the Lord is doing. I want to be yielded. I know you do too. I want to be a partaker. I want to know him, not simply know about him. And there's a distinction there. We can attend services. You can attend religious activities and meetings, and you can see God moving and never really encounter on a personal level, come face to face with experiencing the mighty holy God of the universe. And God, of course, is calling you to that. Let's continue. Verse 8, it says, "So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in a deep sleep with my face to the ground." It's interesting, when you read this section in Hebrew, it actually suggests that Daniel, that when it talks about his appearance being fearfully changed, in Hebrew it actually says that he went into kind of like a death-like paleness, that he turned white, kind of white as a sheet. And it also speaks to this idea that there was the wrenching of facial features, excuse me. So not only is he, you know, pale white, but his face is contorted here. He's fearfully changed when he encounters this supernatural being. And I'm reminded of Joshua in Joshua 5, verses 13 to 15. Let me read it for you, because Joshua had a similar encounter with an angel. It says, "Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho. He's on his way to Jericho. That he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "No, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." In other words, captain of the angelic host. Goes on to say, "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, 'What has my Lord to say to his servant?' The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua," he says, "remove your sandals," he says, "from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. So here you can see again a parallel. Daniel, he falls, it says, he fell on his face in deep sleep with his face to the ground. And here Joshua, who encounters the captain of the host of the Lord, of the Lord's host, an angel who actually has a sword drawn, that he also falls to his face on the ground. He basically falls down. And interestingly, the angel tells him to take off his sandals because he's treading on holy ground. You know, I often wonder if only we, like Elijah's servant, could see into the spirit world. It would blow our minds what we would behold. The angels of the Lord, the spiritual warfare that is raging around us. In that warfare, in that dimension, that spiritual world is as real as the natural world that you and I live in, though I feel that we have in our, I guess, educated society, I think we undervalue the role that the spiritual world has. And the scriptures continue to bring us back to it. Let's continue. And here again, for many folk, if you hold to the view that we're looking at a theophany here in the first 9 verses, then you would believe that at this stage, verse 10 is where the transition is going to take place. And I'll show you why in just a moment. It says, "And behold, a hand touched me and sent me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I've been sent to you.' And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling." Now check this out, verse 12. "Then he said to me, 'Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words.'" Verse 13, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for the days yet to come." Very, very insightful. I believe that the veil is being pulled back, and that in these passages here, in this section here of verses, that we are getting a glimpse into really spiritual warfare from an angelic point of view. It says, "Michael, one of the chief princes," it says, "came to help me." So this angelic personage, this angel who is speaking to Daniel, says that Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. We know in other passages that Michael is identified as one of God's prominent angels. For example, Revelation chapter 12 in verse 7, it says, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back." So here we have mention of Michael, clearly one of the archangels, are the high-ranking angels in heaven, and he's engaged in the last day's battle against the enemy, against the dragon. Interesting to note that there are two angels that I'm aware of, at least, that are mentioned by name. They're named in the entire Bible. We've got Michael, who, of course, we are introduced to again here in Daniel 10. And we also have the archangel Gabriel. Now, interestingly, Gabriel appears to the prophet Daniel, and he is named by name earlier in the book of Daniel. He appears to Daniel a couple times, actually, in order to explain visions to Daniel. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 15 to 26, we have the angel Gabriel appearing to Daniel. And then again in Daniel chapter 9, verses 21 to 27, we have the angel appearing, Gabriel appearing to Daniel. So it is my particular belief that here in verse 12 of chapter 10, that the angel that has come to Daniel is none other than the angel Gabriel. Again, that is just based on my own kind of survey of the previous chapters. You can agree with that or disagree. It really doesn't have much bearing on the overarching message of Daniel 10. But I am of the view that we're looking at Gabriel, the archangel who comes to Daniel. It says, the angel says, with regard to Michael, he says, "Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." Now, right here, this phrase, "came to help me," is the most compelling reason to think that this supernatural personage, that this angel, is not Jesus. Because you know and I know that Jesus would not need Michael's help in dealing with the prince of Persia or dealing with a demonic entity. Frankly, Michael needs Jesus's help, not vice versa. So right here, the fact that this angelic creature needed help indicates to me that we are not talking about a theophany at this point, that we are talking about, again, an angel. And as I just said, I believe we're dealing with the archangel Gabriel. It says, "From the first day, your words were heard." In other words, God responded, the angel saying to Daniel, to Daniel's prayer the very moment that he made his request known. So the very moment Daniel prayed, he set his heart to the Lord. It says at that moment, the answer was sent, which is very important, because we know that Daniel is essentially going to have to actively wait on the Lord as his answer arrived. And so waiting on the Lord is not passive. Waiting on the Lord is active. For 21 days, Daniel had to continue praying and seeking God's face in this state of mourning, in this state of very serious, intense prayer. And it goes on to say, "I've come," the angel does, "because of your words." Now, this is, again, amazing, absolutely amazing. Hear this. An angel of the Lord was dispatched because of Daniel's prayers. Daniel prayed and an angel was dispatched, which to me gives me another, reminder that prayer matters. in that when we're praying, there's a partnership, there's a dynamic in the spiritual realm, you know, that we're engaged. It's not just here on earth, but there's a supernatural response to our praying, and there's a coordination, there's a partnership that ensues. It says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. And obviously, if this prince of the kingdom of Persia is able to oppose an angelic messenger to Daniel, then we know that the prince of the kingdom of Persia could not have been a man. The prince of the kingdom of Persia was obviously some kind of demonic being or fallen angel that had been assigned to the Persian Empire. And we know that this is demonic because he opposes the word of God coming to Daniel, and he stands against the Lord's holy angelic messenger. So this is, again, amazing insight into the spirit world as Daniel prays, that there's a jostling, there's a warfare that is taking place in the heavenlies. Now the word prince has the idea of a ruler or an authority, and it fits in line with the New Testament idea that the angels are ranked, that there's an organization, there's a hierarchy in the heavenlies. And again, time does not allow for us to dive into that, but let me give you a few verses of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. Ephesians 1, 21. Colossians 1:16, Colossians 2:15, and let me read Ephesians 6:12. It says, and you've heard this before, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Says it, I'm going to be concluding here soon. It says, he says that this angelic demonic force, I should say, resisted, withstood me 21 days. So let's again break it down. Daniel went into mourning and prayer on the third day of the month. The angel of the Lord was immediately dispatched on that day, and shows up, though, on the 24th day of the first month with an answer to Daniel's prayer. So there's 21 days in between. So why is there a 21-day lapse between the time that the angel was dispatched and the time that Daniel received the impartation, the answer from the angel? The answer to that question, why, is pretty self-evident. And again, we saw it in the scriptures. The scriptures indicate that the angel encountered demonic opposition that intended to hinder the prayer of the man of God. And as Daniel persevered in prayer, reinforcements arrived, and eventually the angel broke through with his answer. It's amazing. So since the angelic victory came on the 21st day, we can surmise that if Daniel had stopped praying on the 20th day, the answer may not have come. Let me read you a quote from a gentleman, a theologian, Archer. He says, and I quote, "There may be hindering factors of which a praying Christian knows nothing as he wonders why the answer to his requests are delayed. Nevertheless, he is to keep on praying. It may be that he will not receive an answer because he has given up on the 20th day when he should have persisted to the 21st day." Well, there's more to this, but time will not allow us to continue here. I want to be sensitive to our time, so let me draw your attention to our website and to the notes for this message where you can continue to pick up. There are a couple additional points that I think are important, so again, I'd encourage you to check out the notes. That said, though, I'm sure that there are many of you that are within the sound of my voice where you've been praying maybe for the same thing or the same person for months or weeks or possibly even years. And I believe that the Lord would want me to encourage you to continue, to persevere, to be persistent. And I think through the book of Daniel, through chapter 10 here, we could all be aware of the fact that there's more than meets the eye, that much goes on in the spiritual realm that we are not necessarily privy to on this side of eternity, but it doesn't mean that the Lord is not working. And so be encouraged, saint of God, be encouraged. And I trust that the Lord, as I like to say, you know, God's going to have the last word, and his last word for you is going to be good. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. And God, I pray for, again, those within the sound of my voice who may be much like Daniel, heavy-hearted, praying, interceding, standing in the gap for others. And Lord, it may for even some of us feel like it's been a long time that we've been praying. And I thank you, Lord, that there's a purpose in this, that you're developing persistence, faith, and perseverance in us. And Lord, we trust that you are good, and that, Lord, yes, the answer could very well be on the way. So teach us, Lord, to persevere. Teach us, Lord, to endure. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Faith Fellowship, St. Pete, in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.